in a service, at a service last night, and there was only about 15 people there, and I was just sitting through the service. You know, and it's different than our services, just because it's what really small church and not as many people, and you know, just I was just watching how they do things compared to how we do things, and you know, the songs were a little shaky. The piano, what piano music wasn't as what I'm used to, and everything. And I'm just blessed. I think our church is blessed to have what we have, and to have as many people that are willing to take part in our worship. I noticed, you know, the songs that they were singing, it just wasn't as good as what we have, and that's nothing against them. I still got something out of it, but I realized how I take for granted the worship that we have here, the singing, the music, and how much that helps me get prepared in a service by hearing that music and hearing the songs, and that gets our hearts prepared to hear the word. And I just think sometimes we take that for granted, you know, how much our church has and how many people we have that can sing for us and play piano and instruments, stuff like that, that will get us ready to hear the word. But I want to read this little piece of scripture in Titus chapter 3. It says in verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." It says that we ourselves also were all those things at one point. We were all that way. And then if you read on, it says in verse 4, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So, and that was part of the verses that I read in my message last night, and I had never read those verses before, but I thought that the way it summed that up was pretty powerful, the way that it's worded there. Just talking about how we were all at one time, it says foolish, disobedient, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. We were all that way. And then it says, "But our Savior appeared." And then it says, "And it wasn't by our works of righteousness that we had done, but it was through his mercy that we were able to be freed from the slavery that we had faced to those things before." It was through him. So I'm thankful for that tonight. That being said, does anybody have any testimonies before we get started? All right, we'll go ahead and take prayer requests. Do you have any prayer requests tonight? Anybody else?
Thank you. else?
Anyone else? 316, I believe, is singing tonight, so remember them. And then Brother Rob will be preaching, so remember him as well. Anyone else? All right, the altar's open. Everybody feel free to lead out in your own prayer. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get a congregational song. I guess it looks like Bree might have one. So everybody, feel free to shake some hands and wake up a little bit. I know I just woke up probably like at like 5:40, so I need to get moving a little bit.
Page 165. Just in Jesus, just to take. trust him more.
And 316 is coming up, so be obedient tonight in the service. If God puts something on your heart to say, feel free to say that. I know that when I was at the service last night, and there was only a few people there, but I thought, you know, and I was listening to the music, and it was a little off key and things like that, and I was like, you would think that it wouldn't be that good of a service, but because of the amount of people that was there and the way that things was going in the beginning. But then they just started obeying the Lord and giving the testimonies that God put on their heart. And that's when the Spirit started to move. And that's when the service starts to get good, is whenever we listen to the Spirit and do what it tells us. And all the singing can sound as good as there is. And there can be many, many people there. But if we're not obeying the Spirit, then the service won't be anything. So that's what we're here for, is to obey the Spirit. So as they're singing tonight, or any time before Rob gets up here, or even while he's up here, if you have a testimony, feel free to say what God puts on your heart. So. Anyone else have a testimony? All right, 316, and anytime in between their songs, feel free to jump up and testify.
Well, I'm going to try to avoid the microphone when I'm handing them out. We have a guest that begged me to sing with them, so I hope you all don't mind Briar's singing over here with them too. So please let me sing with them all.
away with something bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Giddy over pretty pity please, let me see your hands in the air with you. Out your seats, warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. If you can't articulate, just say amazing.
Faithful member of the family, but if they all forget my name, well, that's else?
Brother Rob?
Bless you, Rob.
I'm going to have Steve Tencher, if you would, pray for Rob as he's coming.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity to come to your house. We pray, Lord, that you bless Rob. Bless him about to speak. Give us this insight, Lord. Absorb this and take this lesson home. We pray, Lord, for the whole service. We thank you, God, for these young people. We bless our hearts, Lord.
Man, nothing like interrupting a prayer, huh? With quickening my mic. You guys did awesome. I want you to know that. Did awesome. You've got your Bibles. If everybody's done, is everybody done? Who has to work tomorrow? Who doesn't have to work tomorrow? Who doesn't have to go to school tomorrow? All right, so for the rest of you, we got plenty of time tonight, right? I mean, we got plenty of time. So just sit back. You know, I got 18 pages of notes here. We're going to be a while. But I figured most of us didn't have to go to work. So, you know, if you've got your Bibles, I don't think I'll keep you very long tonight. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John. Well, I've done something to this thing, so we'll just have to work off that thing. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. When you find it, if you would stand, please, if you can. John chapter 6, verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. John 6, 1 says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is at Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip said unto him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You may be seated. Now, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you about it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, I'm going to talk to the young people. All right? For the most part tonight, I'm going to talk to the young people. So the rest of you, whoever that is, you can't tune out, but it's not necessarily geared towards you. But let me ask you this. Who are the young people? Raise your hand if you're the young people. Who is not the young people? Raise your hand if you're not the young people. Now, all right, so I think you're all young. I think you're all young. So I'm talking to the young folks primarily, but I threw something in here later that you'll see that us, not as young folks, it's for you too, but it doesn't matter. In this story here, so I'm going to look at three different young people in the scriptures that it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. What didn't matter? It didn't matter what anybody else thought. It doesn't matter what anybody else thought, because it's not between you and somebody else. It's not between me and somebody else. It's between me and God, and that's all that matters, is what God thinks, what God says, what God wants is what matters. In this story, we see here that Jesus has a lot of people following him. A lot of people following him. And he's doing miracles. He's ministering to people. He's talking to people. He's leading them. He's guiding them. He's doing God's will. And he's famous. You can't deny that he's famous because he has a great company. And you see up here in the scripture, a great company, a great multitude following him. And it's time to eat, right? It's time to eat. Now, who knows when it's time to eat?
Everybody.
Exactly. Everybody knows when it's time to eat. Sunday mornings when it's around noonish and the preacher's still preaching, right? What starts happening? We yawn. What else? Our bellies start talking, right? Bellies start saying, "Shut up, preacher." That's what our bellies are saying. And we don't say it, but our bellies are saying it, right? So we know when it's time to eat. So it's time. It's time for him to eat. So Jesus says to him, he saw this great company, this great crowd following him. And he says to them, he's testing me, saying, "All right, how are we going to buy him bread? We're going to buy him bread. We're going to buy bread for him to eat." That's question. What shall we do? And he asked this question to see what they would do. He asked this question to see their reaction, to see where their faith is, to see where their belief is, to see where their stance is. Because do we really believe that it doesn't matter what you don't have, but it matters what you do have? Have you ever thought about that? It doesn't matter what you don't have. It just matters what you do have. And what you do with what you do have. So he asks Philip, he says, "What are we going to do?" Philip answers him and he gives him a question back. He says, "Is 200 pennyworth enough to buy this bread for these people?" This 200 pennyworth is not going to touch the crowd that we have here. We don't have enough money in our little gathering that we could even touch everybody in this place to give them a little bit. Everybody wouldn't even get a bite. They'd have to pick and choose who's going to get it. Who's going to get it? You're going to have to pick them. All right, between my family, I've got five of my family. I have to pick one maybe, all right? One of us gets to eat. The others get a look on and go, "I wish you picked me, Dad. I wish you picked me." He says, "Is that even enough to buy even a little bit for them?" He's looking at what he doesn't have. He's looking at what he doesn't have. In his eyes, in Philip's eyes, he doesn't have what he thinks he needs to have. He's looking at his hands and saying, "What's not here?" He's looking at his life and saying, "What's not here?" But it doesn't matter what you don't have. It matters what you do have. It doesn't matter what's not in your hand. It matters what's in your hand. Like Jimmy says, it doesn't matter who's not here. It just matters who is here. That's who we have church with. So go to the next slide. So we look at this, and one of his disciples, Andrew. So they go around and they try to figure out what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So Andrew talks to a little boy, a little lad, a little young man. Now, let's talk about the young man for just a minute. The young man was prepared. The young man was prepared, not for you and not for them. He was prepared for himself. The young man was prepared for himself to have lunch. Now, little boy's getting ready to go out, and he's going to go follow Jesus today. And he goes to mom, and he says, "Mom, I'm going to go, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to listen to Jesus today. I'm going to listen to Jesus talk, because I've heard about Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I know what he does, and I'm probably going to be out there a long time. I may be there until the streetlights come on, Mom." Was that the signal to go home? Anybody? Street lights come on, you better be home, right? Street lights on, you're in the house, right? Or for my friends, when mom started yelling and everybody in the neighborhood heard him, that's the time to get home. So he says, "Mom, I'm going to be a while." So mom says, "You're not going to go and not take something to eat. Now, I'm going to fix you a little bit of food. Just enough for one little boy. But enough for one little boy, right?" So this little boy takes his little bag lunch and he goes to follow Jesus. And I think that's amazing because we don't hear about nobody but this little boy. We don't hear about mom or dad or brother or sister, just this little boy. And he's there and he's listening to Jesus. He's following Jesus. When Jesus moves, he moves. The crowd goes and the little boy goes. But the little boy has with him, what does he not have? He doesn't have enough to feed everybody. The little boy doesn't have enough to feed everybody. He just has enough to feed himself. So Andrew says, "There's a little lad here. There's a little boy here, Jesus, that has some fish and some bread. Now, how much? Enough to make a sandwich. Maybe two.
enough to make a sandwich, maybe two. But that's all he has. You say, God, I don't have very much. And so I want to talk to young people and tell them, say, you know, it doesn't matter what you don't have when it comes to working for God. It matters what you do have. And some people may say, well, you're not smart enough to do that. You don't know enough to do that. You're not educated enough to do that. You don't have the talent and the skill to do that. Maybe you don't have the right last name to do that. Or maybe you don't have the right first name to do that. Maybe you don't have enough money to do that. Maybe you're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. Maybe you're not tall enough. You don't have what it takes to do that. But it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what they say. It just matters what he says. And if he says you have enough to do it, now think back to when he called me to preach, when he asked me to preach. Now, Steve told us that he ran from his. Right? Trent, did you run from yours? Pastor Aaron ran from his. Al, did you run from yours? I did not run from mine because I wasn't smart enough. I just wasn't smart enough. That's why when I said I was called, people might have said, well, you're not smart enough. I'll tell you what I wasn't. I wasn't eloquent enough. I wasn't outgoing enough. I wasn't dramatic enough. I was shy, backward, didn't like to talk in front of people. That was me. I didn't feel like I had what I needed to do what God was asking me to do. But it didn't matter what I thought. It didn't matter what I didn't have. It just matters what I did have. And if you have what God needs you to have, you've got enough. Switch to the next one. Because it just takes God and you. Because when it was all said and done, the Bible says they were filled with those little pieces of bread and little pieces of fish. When that lad came to Jesus and said, well, you know what, God? I've seen you work. I've seen you do miracles. I've seen you perform things that nobody could do. I've seen you do things that nobody can do. I've seen you do things that nobody can explain. I've seen you do things that were impossible to do. I've seen you do things that this world says can't be done. I've seen you do things that they say that you can't do, that I can't do. But when you take some little loaves of bread and some little pieces of fish and you give it to Jesus, when you take your life, you take your talents, you take your skills, and you give them to Jesus. You take your voice, you take your ability, and you take your willingness, and you give it to Jesus. Then they are filled. Because Jesus takes what little you have and turns it into enough for what he needs it to be. It doesn't matter what you don't have. It matters what you do have. Do you have a voice to talk? Do you have a voice to sing? Do you have legs that can walk? Do you have arms that work? Do you have a brain that works? You've got what you've got, and that's all that you need, because Jesus says, I can use what you have. Jesus can't use with you what you don't have. That's why he doesn't ask you to bring anything to the table except what you have. Old people, older people, sorry, talking to me. Older people, God's not done using us. You know that? If you raised your hand and said, I'm one of the older ones in here, when I said, do not youth, and if you raise your hands, the Bible doesn't say there's an age when God stops using you. There's an age when God says, all right, you're done. There's a gauge when God says, time to just sit and ride it on in from here. He says, I'm going to use you as long as you'll let me use you. And if you die while I'm using you, then you die while I'm using you. And you go right on to heaven while he's using you. He doesn't say there's a time where he's not going to ask you. So he might be asking you, me, older folks, to do something that we don't feel like we can, like we have the ability. We don't have the talents. We don't have the skill. Don't have the smarts. God doesn't say you need that. God says, I want you as you are with what you've got. I'll give you what you need that you don't have, but I'm going to work with you with what you do have. Because it doesn't matter when you're with God what you don't have. It just matters what you do have and what you do with what you do have. Do you give that to Jesus and say, It ain't much, but it's what I've got. Here, take it. When you do that, you will notice that others will be blessed and will be filled. And with God, things always become better. And the Bible says that they took fragments that remained over and above what they had, and nothing was lost. And how many baskets did they fill? 12. From one little lunch, everybody ate. And you know how many ate in this story? 5,000 men. 5,000 men plus women and children. So little lad's lunch, 5,000 men, women and children, all ate, and they had leftovers. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you don't have. It just matters what you do have. Don't try to save the world with what you don't have. With Jesus, just try to save people with what you do have. Don't work for God with what you don't have. Work for God with what you do have. And if you need something beyond what you do have, God will add that to you, and then you will have it to work with. So move on to the next one. It doesn't matter what you don't have. It matters what you do have. Now, what else? It doesn't matter how old you are. Or for us, it doesn't matter how old you're not. Doesn't matter how old you're not, doesn't matter how young you're not. So we got all of you. Those who feel young, it doesn't matter how old you're not. Those who feel old, it doesn't matter how young you're not. So either crowd gets it here. We get all of you. Because God says, I love everybody, right? I'm using everybody. I'm going to use you. So us old folks, got to start listening for a minute. So we look at this scripture in 1 Samuel. Doesn't matter how old you're not. Doesn't matter how young you're not. All right? 1 Samuel 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn Saul, seeing I rejected him? He said, that's it. I've had enough of him. He has sinned too many times. He's disobeyed too many times. He's gone against my will too many times. And I've had it. He was your king. Now he's not your king. He's not going to be your king. I want you to go anoint a king. So he says, fill your horn with oil and go to Jesse's house. Get down to Jesse's house, because I provided me a king through him and his children. Now Jesse's got how many children? 8. And they're all ranges. With David, who's probably about 10 to 12 years old, all the way through probably early 20s. So he says, I'm tired. I'm done with Saul. I'm going to get myself a king. Because you see, he didn't pick Saul. We picked Saul. Real quick, and then take you back real quick, how he got Saul, how we got Saul, is we picked what we want, what we thought, and what we desired. You know that? We picked what we want, what we thought, and what we desired when we wanted a king. We looked at everybody else's king, said, ah, we need a king. Now, what would this king look like? Well, if I built a king, he would be tall, okay, head and shoulders above others. He would be strong. He was strong. He would be mighty. He was a mighty man. And he would be a great leader, as Saul was. Saul stood out. We said, ah, there's the man we want. We want Saul, God. God said, no, you don't. You want me. We said, no, God, we want Saul. We don't want you. God said, no, you don't want Saul. You want me. And they argued with God. Anybody ever argued with God? Young folks, it's okay to argue with God. Just let him win. He will win anyway. But how many here has argued with God? Raise your hand. Keep them up. Turn around and look. Young folks, look at all of us. We've all, most of us, argued with God. And those who didn't just lied, so you can pray later. So, we argue with God. No, we want him. He's the best. God said, no, he's not. No, he's not, but you can have him if you want him. God said, here's what he's going to do. He's going to take your men. He's going to take your women. He's going to take your servants. He's going to take your children. He's going to take your cattle. He's going to take your sheep. He's going to take your food. He's going to take everything. He's going to take it for himself. But do you still want him? We said, yes, we want him. So we got him. We got Saul. God said, all right, you shouldn't want him, but you got him anyway. Gave us Saul. Saul disobeyed God. God said, all right, you're done. Ripped it from you. And he told Samuel, he said, Samuel, I'm done with him. So Samuel got sad, because he's who we want, God. He's who we want. God says, yeah, but it's not who I want. Doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what he acts like. So God said, I'm done with him. Samuel starts crying, whining. Didn't get her way anymore. He says, how long are you going to mourn this man who's disobedient to me? Move to the next one. So what he says to him, he goes down And Samuel says to Jesse, bring your boys to me. Bring all of them. So he starts with the oldest and brings them, and there's big, strong, burly-looking guy. And Samuel says, that's him. I'm going to go get the oil out. And just as he goes, God says, no, that's not him. But that's exactly who I would have picked, God. This one is who God said, all right, let's move on to the next one. Samuel says, all right, bring the next one. Went through seven of them, and he's going to pick all of them. And so he says to him, Jesse, is this everybody? Jesse says, no, this is the good ones. This is my good boys right here. These are the ones I'm proud of. This is Dad's boys right here, right? The other one, can somebody finish that for me? He's not a dad's boy. He's a mama's boy. Not that's a bad thing. He's a mama's boy. He's out there just taking care of sheep. He's not big, burly. He's not strong. He's not muscular. He's just a little dude. Little dude. He's just a little guy. He's cute. The Bible says he's nice to look at. But he's a little guy, and he's just out there getting sheep. So Samuel says, go get him. Samuel is from Jackson County. You know that? How many of you knew that? Samuel says, all right, go fetch him. That's a Jackson County thing. Go fetch him. Not go get him, not bring him here. He says, go fetch him. So he says, and I like what he says. He says, we're going to stand just so you will go get that little boy you don't think's the one that should be it. We're going to stand till he gets here. We're going to stand. Now think about what he's saying. We're going to stand till we lay eyes on the next king. The next time we lay eyes on one of your sons, we're laying eyes on the king. So he brought him in. He was ruddy and beautiful countenance. Not burly and strong and mean looking. Not what we would have picked. Young lad, 10 to 12. And the Lord said, that's him. That's him right there. But God, he's just a little dude. I know that. But that's him. But God, he's not strong and mighty. I know that. But that's him. But God, he's not burly and of leadership. But that's him. But God, he's not very old. He's not very old. God says, I'm not looking for age. Age is not what I'm looking for. Age is not one of my prerequisites to being used by me. Age has nothing to do with my will. Age has nothing to do with my plans. Age has nothing to do with what I'm going to get done in your life and in this world. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter that. It doesn't matter that you're young. It doesn't matter that you're old. It doesn't matter that you feel worthless. It doesn't matter that you feel useless. He says, it doesn't matter of your age. He says, I'm going to use David. This is the one I'm going to use. So if we'll change the slides, the Bible says this, that Samuel anointed David that day as a 10 or 12 year old. As a 10 or 12 year old. Let me ask you guys a question. How would you feel if we said, tomorrow, you're going to be the president of the United States? Would you feel like you could do the job? No? How about you all? What if we said, tomorrow, you're going to be president of the United States? Do you think you could do the job? We got one guy saying, yeah. See? The thing is, at 10 or 12, and we can move the screen. At 10 or 12, we just know one thing. My life, my world, what I want, me, myself, and I. But at 10 to 12 years old, he anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on him that day. That's what made the difference. Not his age. Not his knowledge, not his wisdom, not his power, not his strength, but his God. His God made the difference. And that's what God will do with you, young people. And that's what God will do with you, not as young people. God will make the difference. And the Bible says that when you said to Jesus, when you said to God, today I want to give you my life, he says, then I came into your heart, I came into your heart, your life, and I moved in, and I will abide with you, my spirit will be with you from that day forward until you step out of this world and you step into that world, and then instead of being in you, we'll be beside you. Have y'all ever thought about that day? Leave the message for a minute. Have you ever thought about the day that you close them here for the last time and open them there for the first time? Right now, we have him within us, and we know not what it looks like. Yes, we do. We've seen the paintings. We have no idea what the face of Jesus looks like. But when you open them up that day, you will no longer have an invisible person living within you, but a live physical person beside you that you will be able to see. Have you ever thought about that day? Make that day your day. All right, so, does it matter how old you are? Not. And does it matter how young you are? Not. We're all in. Move to the next one. We're all in. And it doesn't matter what people think when you are younger and start to think that I've got something to say. God wants me to do something. See, Timothy. Paul said, Timothy, you're young. Now, see, David was just little. The lad was a little lad. David was 10 or 12 years old. Timothy at this time was probably about 30, 35 years old. But here's the thing. People in the church were telling him, you're too young. You're too young. You really, I've been a Christian longer than you. Who are you to lead me? I've been a Christian longer than you. Who are you to tell me what? I'm 20 years older than you, Timothy. Who are you to talk to us? Well, Paul says, don't let any man despise your youth or look down upon your youth. Be the example that you need to be to the believers. And that's what God says to you. It doesn't matter how old or your age. Just be the example that I'm asking you to be. Be the person that I need you to be. Be the leader spiritually that I want you to be. Because the church needs spiritual leadership. Doesn't matter the age of the body. Matters the age of the God. And the God is forever. And he says to him, just be the example that God asked you to be. So to you, just be in God, the example that you need to be in God and in God's power. Then when you speak those words, when you give those directions, when you give those instructions, when those people look at your life, not as young and not as old, then they won't look at you and say, but you're too young or you're too old. Because how many times have we heard this? That older generation doesn't know anything about us, do they? Do they? They don't know what we're going through. They don't know anything about our life, right? How many young people have ever said that or thought that? Don't raise your hand. We'll pretend none of them have. Old people. Older people. How many of us say this? That young generation, they don't know anything. They're clueless. Millennials. Why? We were once them, and now we are we, and we made it this far. So when we were them, we must not have been too out of it, because we've made it this far. Now they are we when we were that age. They have much to teach us about enjoyment of Jesus, energy of Jesus, loving of Jesus, being happy in Jesus, being willing in Jesus. How many of us, how many were up here singing tonight? They're starting to count. How many? Give me a guess. Just figure. 15? No? Less? 10? 10? There's more than 10. 12? How many of us out here would get up here with 10 to 12 people and sing? You can raise your hand on that one. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, a few. I wouldn't, and if I did, you would tell me, don't do it again. Just don't do it again. What? Yeah, no more, Rob. We heard you when you were over here, and over here we don't want you anymore. This morning, how many of you saw the bells ringing? The joy of Jesus. How many of us smile like that? Or is excited to do what Jesus asked us to do. What have we got to learn from them? A whole bunch, people. How many of us just have sat in our pews for 10 years and just sat in our pews and not experienced that joy. Now, we have much to teach you all, because we have actually been there. I know you don't think so. You think we were born 40, but we weren't. We were born zero, and we've grown to be 40, 50, 60. So we've been through it. We've got much to teach you. But you have much to teach us. But the Bible says, don't let anybody despise your youth. If God wants you to say something, say it. If God wants you to do something, do it. In Jesus, just be you. In Jesus, just be His example. In Jesus, be His ambassador to us. If we see or hear you and it's of God and we ignore it, that's on us. God says, I want you to do this or I want you to say this, and you do it. Why? Because it doesn't matter how old you're not or how young you're not. If God's calling and leading and guiding and you're obeying, then what you're doing and saying, we need to see and hear. Because it's all about God and not about us. It's all about God and not about you or all about you. It's all about Him. And it's a matter of willingness and availability. God says, I've got the rest. So it doesn't matter, Timothy, that you're only 30, 35 years old. You can tell us, not as young folks, what we need to hear. It doesn't matter, David, that you're only 10 to 12. You can be the leader that God wants you to be. It doesn't matter, little lad, that you only have one little lunch, because you use what you do have and God can fulfill His will with that. Now let's move on to the next one. Because these three, now it doesn't matter what you didn't hear, but what you did hear. It doesn't matter what you didn't hear. It matters what you did hear. Now, this is Samuel, probably about 13, 14 years old. Right? 13, 14 years old. Doesn't matter what you didn't hear. Matters what you did hear. So in Samuel 3, 4, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here am I. How many of us need to get just that lesson? When God calls, say, here am I. Let's practice on the count of three. We'll read those last three words in that first verse. 1, 2, 3. Here am I. Now, it's that simple. It's that simple. But is it that easy? Not always. Simple just means we can do it. We all just said, here am I. But is it that easy? Well, Rob, I want you to preach in front of people in crowds of 100, 200, 300 people. Here am I are simple words to say, but not easy to do. To you, I want you to sing in front of people. Here am I, simple words to say, but not easy to get that to come out. But it doesn't matter what you didn't hear, it matters what you heard. So he called him and said, here am I. Now, he goes to Eli and he says, Eli, what do you want? Eli says, I don't want anything. I want to go back to sleep. That's what I want. Just leave me alone. Happens again. He says, go lay down. Leave me alone. Let me go back to sleep. So he does. And Samuel goes and lays down. God calls him again. He goes back to Eli and says, Eli, what? What do you want? He says, I don't want anything. Third time, he says, I want you to quit waking me up. But Eli perceived at that time that the Lord was calling this little 13-year-old boy, 13, 14-year-old boy. Why? Because he had something to tell him. God has something to tell you. It doesn't matter how old you are. God has something to tell you. It doesn't matter how young you are. And it doesn't matter what you don't hear. It just matters what you do hear. So Eli said to him, go lay down. When it happens again, say, Lord, speak. I'm your servant and I'm listening. I've got my ears open, I've got my heart open, I've got my spirit open. You just talk, and I'm going to listen. So Samuel did that. He went and laid down. Go to the next one. Samuel did exactly what he was told to do. And the Bible says here that the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, speak, for I'm listening. That's the important part. We need to say, Lord, I'm listening. How many times has God talked to me, and I'm not listening for Him? How many times am I sitting right there in a pew right over there? Because you know, that's our spot over there. You know that, right? How many of you have a spot? Don't raise your hand. How many have a spot that you sit in at this church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday nights? And sometimes we sit here and we get so used to this good singing and these good testimonies and this preaching. You've got three great preachers and then they give me so you can see what you have in the others. They're like, all right, so there's Rob. Now you know, come on, Aaron, Jimmy, and Alice, go. But I'm not listening for God to speak to me. You know, when I come to church, I should sit down and I should close this and I should open this and I should open this. Because God, when you come to church, every time you come to church, God Himself will open this and talk to you. You say, Rob, I didn't get nothing out of this sermon. Do you think God didn't speak, or did I not hear? Because God has something for you every time you come into this church. Every time you come into His presence, He has something for you. So, the Lord said, Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that hear it will tingle. He was saying, Samuel, you might be 13, maybe 14, 15. You might just be a young teenager, but I've got something I need you to do. I've got something I want you to do. Now, the need to, God don't need you to do anything. God don't need me to do anything. God wants us to do something. But let me tell you, if I didn't answer my call to preach, there's somebody else that would have. If I don't answer my call to get up and testify, there's somebody else that will. Trust me. Because they will say exactly, well, let me just tell you this. This morning, I don't think they're here. This morning, after those bells rang, my heart said, stand up and clap. That's what my heart said. But my shyness said, ain't nobody else doing it. They're going to look at you. Nobody else going to stand up except you. You're going to look dumb, and you're going to sit back down, and you're going to want to just keep sitting and keep sinking till nobody can see you. And then what happened? Mike Wolf. God said, fine, Rob, you won't do it. Brother Mike, I want a standing ovation. And Mike says, I think we should stand. And we did. How many times God says something and we don't do it for one reason or another? Now, don't let people tell you that you are too young for anything. Because if God tells you you're old enough, that's all that matters. And it doesn't matter what you don't hear, it matters what you do. When you do hear from God, and God speaks, and God calls, and God asks you to do something, young people and not as young people, that goes there too. Because sometimes we think, well, nobody will believe me if I say that. Nobody will listen to me if I say that. Nobody wants to hear me say that. Nobody wants me to get up and say that. But if God is asking you to say that, then you need to get up and say that. If God's asking you to do that, you need to get up and do that. If God's asking you to say something to somebody in your life, whether at work or school or home, in your community, you need to get up and say it. Go do it. Why? Because God's asking you to do it for a reason. And that reason may be that at that point in that person's life, they need to hear what God's telling you to say, whether it's in church or out of church. But when we listen to what God says and we do what God says, it doesn't matter what you didn't hear. Matters what you did, that you heard the voice of God. And God calling and saying, now's the time to do this. Now's the time to say that. Now's the time to be that kind of person. Now's the time to stand for me. Now's the time to speak for me. Now's the time to do what I want you to do. And if you don't, they will. But it doesn't matter what you didn't hear. It matters what you did hear. Because you heard the voice of God. Doesn't matter that your preacher didn't tell you to do it. Doesn't matter that your mama didn't tell you to do it. It doesn't matter that daddy didn't say do it. Matters that God said do it. And if God said do it, like we say in here, if it's God's will, it's in order. In your life, if God says do it, it's in order in your life. So it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you didn't hear. Matters what you did. I'm just about done. If we get ready to sing. So, young people and not as young people, it doesn't matter in this life except God. It doesn't matter in this life except God. That's what matters. It doesn't matter if God says do it, do it. If God says say it, say it. If God's asking you to give it, give it. If God's wanting you to lead it, lead it. Why? Because it only matters about God. It doesn't matter about you. It doesn't matter about me. It just matters if God. And if God, then it's right. So as they sing, as we stand, doesn't matter what you don't have, matters what you do have, and what do you do with it? Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what you don't hear, but what you do hear. So if you're hearing God speak tonight, if you're hearing God's voice tonight, answer that call tonight as they sing. If God wants you to come, come. He's here, He's waiting, and He's ready. Go ahead.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Love to sing of your name, Lord. How good you are. Love to sing of your name, Lord. Love to sing of who you are. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Praise the
have anything.
Amen. Thank
you, Lord. If you appreciate the young folks, Trent leading, 316 singing, if you appreciate Jennifer, let them know it.
Amen.
They do an awesome job, all of them.